السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa, we are discussing the different fitnas. Close to Qiyamah, there will be nothing but the pouring of fitnas. And at present, we can see how Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's predictions, each and every one of them, so true that it requires no evidence, no explanation, doesn't require a very intelligent person to understand. It is as clear as the daylight sun. Every prediction of his, clear as the daylight sun. And especially the increase in natural disasters and all the other things that he mentioned. Hardly a day goes by when we do not hear of some disaster here or there. But besides that, those disasters, as I mentioned, the disasters in our heart, that every person is well aware of. No home, no bazaar, no school, no college, no khanqah, no jamaat, no masjid is free of hypocrisy amongst the congregation, is free of fitnas. Every way it is nothing but the same. Whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had predicted, it is very, very clear and very apparent. Now, why did he mention all these things? If they were going to happen, some people say that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that these things will happen. So they are going to take place. So it is not possible for us to prevent it happening. Now, this is another whispering of shaitan and it's another fitna. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not predict these things so that we indulge in these things. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted that this is what is going to happen so that we may take a lesson and restrain ourselves. If we cannot stop the whole world, we can stop ourselves. This is our biggest problem, that every time we are looking at the others, that the world is not changing, the society is not changing, the jamaats are not changing, the people are not changing, the organizations are not changing. All of them are not changing, but how much of change did we bring in ourselves? How much of difference has it made to our own akhlaq after listening to the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in abundance, listening to the verses of the Quran Sharif, so many of them, and their translations and explanations and all the tafsirs, then how much of change has it brought into our own lives? We can't change the whole world, we can't change, but we can change ourselves. Therefore, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that iski fikr kyun karte ho, why are you so concerned that the mahol is bad, the environment is bad, the mahol and the environment, you say if that is bad, it's bad. But why don't you make some friends who will be thinking in the same line? NUR 16124, please move your car. 16124. He says, why don't you choose some friends? Choose some friends who are thinking in the same line, who are thinking on the same wavelength, who are in the same direction, who are also concerned about their islah, about their deen, about their a'mal, about their akhlaq, their concern about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, seeing, hearing, knowing, therefore they should not be indulging in any kind of haram. I'm just giving you an explanation. So he says, why don't you choose some friends or like that? And then tell them that, look, we are friends for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If you find me committing a mistake or slipping or falling, then you must bring me back on track, you must reprimand me, you must make nasihat to me, and I will not be offended. And the same the other friend tells to him. So in this way, slowly you will build up a circle of friends who will be able to make up an environment where it will be conducive to practicing upon deen and sharia. There will be certain things in the outside world which may be a little difficult, but there the person will then make plenty of istighfar and tawbah if he's accidentally trapped in that mahol. But at least he can create that within his home and in his own life. But this is the major fitna of our time, that we just not prepared to change our own akhlaq and character. Our anger has got no limit, our jealousy no limit, our malice no limit, our greed no limit. In every deal of a person you find that there is something behind it. Own friends you will find that the person is not prepared to share his knowledge or his expertise, or he's not prepared to share his experience or some information that he has which will be useful to another friend or to another Muslim. Nothing. Every person is just concerned about his own self. The selfishness has reached a limit, and because of that there's such darkness that we just cannot imagine, whether we cannot see light, we cannot see the road. We are just bumping and tripping and falling, and there is restlessness in the hearts. This is a major fitna of the time. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not predict all these things so that we indulge in it. He predicted them so that we look around and we say that, is the fitna coming? If it is coming, then I must run far away from it. If it's coming, then I must run far away from that fitna. I must not allow it to attack me. I must not allow it to demolish me. I must not allow it to shatter me or to destroy my iman. If somebody warns a person that there is a huge cobra that is coming from the top, the road that you are taking, from the top there is a huge cobra that is coming. So now what does it mean? Does it mean now go towards the cobra? What it will mean is that run away from there. Don't go in that road, run away from there, because it's coming that way, it's going to attack you. Or if they have to announce in the zoo that one lion went loose from the cage and it is somewhere around, then even those who are crippled will run faster than they enter the zoo. They will forget their sticks too and they will run. Why? Because they know there's a lion that is loose somewhere. So that is the purpose of informing us of these fitnas, that we run from them. Not that we go towards them and then find excuses. So Hazrat Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayhi and so many others, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi, from the hadiths of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, they have deduced so many hadiths. And then they've explained to us the different fitnas of the times. So this is a fitna. We all are trapped in it. That our hearts have become filled with malice, with greed, with pride, with anger, with evil passions and lust and desires, to the extent that we get trapped. One is the desire comes in the heart to commit some evil, let it come. But don't accommodate it. Don't entertain it. Ignore it. Occupy yourself in something else. Then that will be taqwa. Then you'll get the noor of taqwa. But if the person purposely brings it into his heart, then definitely he's going to get trapped into the fitna. One brother phoned this morning from another province, and he says that all these things that are happening around the world, the major cause of all that is that the economy is not in our hands. He says, Maulana, you'll talk about so many things, but the major cause of all the fitnas in the world is that the economy is not in our control. If we have good economy, if we are solid, then after that all the fitnas will get solved. He didn't mean anything bad. And Islam also does not say that you must be weak in your economy. Islam doesn't teach that. Islam doesn't say that you must be beggars and you must extend your hands before the others. Islam doesn't teach that you must be dependent on the technology of other countries all the time. Islam requires that we should build up our economy, we should have technology in our hands, we should be the best of scientists, we should be best of doctors, best of philosophers, everything. But that doesn't solve the problem if we don't have the backup of iman behind it. The ruh and the spirit, if it is not behind it, then it won't solve the problem. It will bring more fitnas. I explained to him, I said, these days no person can trust the other Muslim. You are talking about why don't the Muslims get together and they also build up huge industries and factories and machinery and whatever the others are doing. And just as the Jews are controlling the economy, we also must control. I said, these days brother cannot trust his brother. Father cannot trust his son. Uncle cannot trust his nephew. And you are talking about the Muslims all getting together and trusting each other. And say, why don't the Muslims put all their finances into one bucket and one pool? Then what a strong economy that would be. Indeed, what he is saying is all beautiful ideas. I said, but look at the ground, look at our roots. Can anybody trust anyone today? Those names which were trusted, are they any more trusted? It is mentioned that there was a time when it was said that trust everybody and deal with everybody. Then the time came that trust everybody excluding A, B, C. Two or three names were mentioned that you can trust everybody and deal with everybody. But A, B, C, two or three names were mentioned that be careful, don't deal with them, don't trust them. So then the time came where they said that you deal with 1, 2, 3 and don't trust all the others. And soon the time will come when they will say don't trust anybody. How true it is. And this was said more than 1200 years ago. It's not a hadith, but the person who said it lived 1200 years ago. Now imagine how true it is. So these things are not going to solve our problems. As I always say, that every time an organization is formed to unite the Muslim Ummah, and they say that all organizations must get together and we have one strong, powerful, united Muslim body. So every time that some organization was formed, after a little while it became another organization amongst the myriad of organizations. If we had 100, now it became 101. And now another one has to arise to unite again. Why is this happening? Because the hearts are not clean. And when there's fasad in the hearts, when the individuals have got fasad in their hearts, any organization they will enter, they will go with their fasad. Any masjid they will go with their fasad. If they've gone on Arafat Maidan also, they are gone with their fasad there. Until they don't make tawbah and istighfar and purify those hearts, then from the Maidan of Arafat they will return with those same diseased hearts. Because no effort was made on the changing of the heart. The only effort that was made, read this tasbih so many times, make this zikr so many times, and make Allah Allah so many times in Arafat, and make some dua there, and then come away. But nothing else. So that is the reason that these fitnas, we have to listen to it. We mustn't worry if the whole world doesn't change. But every day we must check our own lives and see that how much have I changed? How much of change has come into me? What is my behavior now with my wife and with my children? If I used to lose my temper before on every turn, is it still the same or is there a change now in my life? Before in my dealings, if there was robbery and there was theft and there was fraud and there was cheating and there was deceiving, then have I changed or is it still the same? Before in my life, if there was plenty of pride, have I humbled myself or is there still the same amount of pride or has it now increased? That before the pride was when I had no knowledge and no ibadat, no zikr, no tilawat. And now the pride has come with the ibadat, with the zikr, with the tilawat, that I'm even more proud now. And I consider myself superior and the others all inferior. So these are the things that we have to check. And these majlises, as I have repeatedly said, are for the purposes of islah. ND411072, causing obstruction. 411072. Mercedes-Benz, remove your car. So we have to check ourselves that to what extent have we made our own islah. And then when 20 people, 50 people, 100 people, 1000 people make the islah, automatically we will have an environment. The environment, that is how it is going to be formed. Zamana humko badal sake ye zamane mein dam nahi. Zamana humko badal sake ye zamane mein dam nahi. Zamana humse hai hum zamane se nahi. Don't let the environment change us. We must change the environment. Because every home there's facade, and there's so much of facade that sometimes you cannot even stomach anymore. Imagine an 8-month-old pregnant mother, if she has to tell you that my son put me flat onto the ground and then he booted me. What if only that son knew or knows that what that mother went through for his sake. So there's facade everywhere. Now we have to change ourselves, we have to change our home environment if we want to get rid of the facade. Otherwise it's not going to really change anything in the society. So we are doing Hazrat Khaja Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi's beautiful ashar, in which I think he captures exactly what is happening in our society and in our so-called civilized world.
جو اب حال دنیا ہے ناگفتنی ہے جو اب رنگ عالم ہے نادیدنی ہے جو دن رات گھر میں لڑائی ٹھنی ہے نہ پوچھو سبب اس کا ناگفتنی ہے یہ تہذیب نو ہے نئی روشنی ہے بظاہر بنی ہے بباطن ٹھنی ہے بلب دوستی ہے بدل دشمنی ہے بظاہر بنی ہے بباطن ٹھنی ہے بلب دوستی ہے بدل دشمنی ہے زباں پر ثنا قلب میں بدزنی ہے پسے پشت غیبت ہے تانا زنی ہے یہ تہذیب نو ہے نئی روشنی ہے.
This we did last week. بظاہر بنی ہے بباطن ٹھنی ہے. That outwardly friendship, but inside the heart daggers drawn. Two good friends, close friends. But the one friend tells another person that you must be very careful of my friend. Don't deal with him. Now what kind of friendship is that? He says he's a very good friend of mine, but don't deal with him. He'll take you for a ride. Now that person is telling me, he says, one another, he tells me about his own friend. Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi says that two friends used to come, and every time they are together, they travel together, they come together, they sit together. He says, but that one of them mentioned to another person, he says that if only I can help it, I'll throttle this fellow. He says, I will throttle him. And that's friendship of the day. So how can we expect then the fruits of those friendships? How can we see the fruits? And this is not something far-fetched. What I'm talking about is pertinent, it's relevant to our times, it's happening in our society, it's happening in everyday life. You ask the friend, he will tell you that it is my friend who did me down. Most of the cases that we get, they will say, I trusted my friend. And he is the one that transferred my whole property. I left a power of attorney with him, and when I come back, it's all gone. So this is the tehzeeb-e-nau nayi roshni. Whose names do we find in the newspapers? Car hijackings and murders and killings and everything.
صفائی پوشاک و تن دیدنی ہے مگر روح آلائشوں میں سنی ہے خمیدہ ہے سر دل میں کبر و منی ہے، شریفانہ صورت ہے سیرت دنی ہے.
If only this small majma here, this small crowd, or this few hundred people that we have here, if only we take this lesson, that look at our outward, that our outward is so clean, our outward we want spotless, there must be no spot on our clothes, and especially if we are wearing white, then even one black spot, it stands out, and we will not feel comfortable with that. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about myself. That if there's one spot of ink on my white kurta, I feel restless. So all of us, we want to be clean. We want our clothes to be clean and spotless. But how many black spots do we have on our hearts? Did we ever check that? Therefore my Shaykh gives a beautiful example. He says that the person who is working with a black overall in a garage, and the overall is soiled with grease, with dirt, with oil, and with everything else, nothing will stand out. And nothing happens, and nobody bothers to. Because it is black, nothing will show out. But if it is white, then even one drop of ink will show on it. And on that black overall, if you have to pour a whole bottle to, nothing will happen. So in the same way, these hearts of ours, when they become pitch black, when committing sins and indulging in sins becomes our lifestyle, and tawbah and istighfar we are very worried and scared of, that if I make plenty of tawbah istighfar, and if only my tawbah gets accepted, then I will be deprived. Believe me, that one person actually says that there were days in his life when he was scared to make tawbah and istighfar, because if only the tawbah and istighfar got accepted, then he will be deprived of his haram entertainment. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Now can we just imagine to what extent our iman is gone? That the person is concerned that if Allah Ta'ala accepts my tawbah and then after that keeps me away from the sins, so then how am I going to enjoy adultery and fornication and cinemas and gambling and theatres? So what kind of istighfar and tawbah was that? But he says, Alhamdulillah, after that, after listening to your talks and your majlises and everything, then I understood that the real enjoyment and the true happiness lies in istighfar and tawbah with deep heartedness. And he says, Alhamdulillah, now I'm enjoying. And I don't miss. He says, I was an addict of this, an addict of that, but now I'm getting such peace and such sukoon in my life. But there was a time, he says, in his life, when he was scared to make tawbah and istighfar. So safai ye poshak o tan didni hai. People talk about the clothes of people. Look at that person, how well dressed. It's dressed in the fashion of the time. That woman is dressed in the fashion of the time. And there's so much of talk. Safai ye poshak o tan didni hai. The body also clean and pure. All kinds of powders and all kinds of creams and everything is used, and soaps. Magar ru ala isho mein sani hai. But the main thing which is will live on forever and ever, that is the soul. It is soiled in so much of filth, so much of filth. Allah Ta'ala have mercy on us. Our souls are soiled in so much of filth. That there is just no peace and happiness and satisfaction and contentment, it seems, as in anybody's life. You will get a few exceptions. Sharifana surat hai sirat dani hai. Our surats are sharifana. Beards, hats, kurtas. Ladies with cloaks, hijab, niqabs. But after that, when it comes to sirat, when it comes to the real action, when it comes to the amal, when it comes to the akhlaq, when it comes to the deeds and actions in the privacy and secrecy, then at that time, where does that surat go? We need the surat too, but it must go with the sirat. Now we'll take on one more couplet for tonight.
Na haq se gharaz kuch na mazhab se matlab, agar hai to bas apne matlab se matlab. Na haq se gharaz kuch na mazhab se matlab, agar hai to bas apne matlab se matlab. جو تھا اپنا مطلب تو تھا سب سے مطلب، پھری آنکھ پورا ہوا جب سے مطلب، نہ حق سے غرض کچھ نہ مذہب سے مطلب، اگر ہے تو بس اپنے مطلب سے مطلب، جو تھا اپنا مطلب تو تھا سب سے مطلب، پھری آنکھ پورا ہوا جب سے مطلب، یہ تہذیب نو ہے نئی روشنی ہے. ایوری وے اف یو لک اراؤنڈ دس از اور کنڈیشن، دس از دا کنڈیشن. نہ حق سے غرض کچھ نہ مذہب سے مطلب، از ناٹ دیٹ دا پرسن از ویری مچ کنسرن اباؤٹ اسلام اینڈ شریعہ اینڈ دین دیٹ از آسکنگ مسئلہز. When he looks at the will and he sees that according to Islamic law and according to the Sharia law and the Quranic scheme of distribution, he is entitled to a large share and slice of the estate, then he runs to those same muftis and ulama that he was condemning and criticizing left, right and center. What is my right? What is my right? Am I not entitled to this according to Islamic law? It's not a question of being greedy for money, but I want to get everything done according to Sharia. Now there, this same person who doesn't have namaz in his life, no roza, no zakat, but is very concerned about Sharia, because it is according to Islamic law that he is entitled to a share. But he saw that the will is not according to Islamic law, so now he's asking for a redistribution and he's asking for meetings and he's asking for all kinds of the new arrangements so that there can be a distribution according to Islamic law. Now there is no doubt that it's a very good desire, and in fact it is a duty upon the Muslim that he must make sure that the estate is distributed according to Islamic law. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has decided, that is the best decision. And whatever share he has fixed, nobody could fix a better share than that. And there's great wisdom behind why he has fixed certain shares for certain people. But here that is not the issue. What he says is that is not the gharaz, is not the deen. It's not because of deen that this person is suddenly very much interested. It is just because he's got a matlab in there. His own matlab is there, that he is going to benefit. But if he was not benefiting, and if he was benefiting more according to the civil law distribution, then he will demand that. Then he wouldn't have asked for Sharia. They would have found excuses with Sharia. They would have said that in these times and these days it doesn't work. Na'uzu billah. One mother, she says that when I make namaz, then my husband says, somebody died, you make namaz. You're making namaz, did somebody die? She said, but it's farz, 5 times a day namaz is farz, not that somebody has to die for you to make namaz. He says, did anybody die that you're making namaz? But yet that same person, he says that when he sees that he's got no way out and there's great problem and difficulty, then at that time he says, must make dua. Now must make dua, but when she's making namaz, he says, anybody died. So this is what we mean, that na haq se gharaz, na mazhab se matlab. Matlab is the person's own self. Selfishness. That where the person benefits, then he will talk about deen, talk about sharia, talk about the Quran. And where the person does not get worldly benefit and material gain, then at that time that Quran sharif and sharia and everything is on the shelf. So he said, na haq se gharaz kuch na mazhab se matlab, agar hai to bas apne matlab se matlab. Every person, if you have to look at it, I'm talking about general. You have exceptions, but generally every person is just looking at what is in it for me. In all deals, in everything, we're not saying in business, definitely the person wants to make some profit. But I'm talking about a general situation, where in everything the person wants to see whether I will get comfort, I will get benefit, I will get profit, I will get some kind of material gain. So then I am prepared to befriend the person. But when it comes to deen and sharia, for the sake of deen and sharia, then we will find ourselves sifar and zero. Jo tha apna matlab to tha sab se matlab. So many cases we have, so much of evidence there is, that when the person has got his own matlab, then at that time he's got matlab with everybody.
That time he's got matlab with everybody. Some time back there was one person who was interested in marrying. I won't mention whose daughter and all the details. So the condition was that he must be reasonably good, must be dindar. Then this person was prepared to give his daughter. So for a short while this person was in kurta, in beard, topi, five-time namaz and long duas. But it so happened that the istikhara proved otherwise and that nikah was the proposal was turned down. As soon as the proposal was turned down, from the very next day that person wasn't even seen in the masjid. The kurta went, the beard went, the topi went. Now was this matlab or what was it? Was it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala? How many incidents we have of this kind? Now if that kurta and that topi and that beard and everything was for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then if the proposal was turned down, they say, well, that was taqdeer. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must have got someone else in my taqdeer. But what enmity did he have suddenly for deen and sharia that everything went? Therefore, Mawlana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Ali, if you had to look at his majlises, most of the times he used to harp on this, that there's so much of hypocrisy in our lives, so much of hypocrisy, that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Iza haddasa kazaba," the signs of a munafiq, when he speaks lies. "Wa iza wa'ada akhlaf," when he makes promises, he breaks his promises. "Wa iza utumina khan," and when he's entrusted, he betrays the trust. And in another one, "Wa iza khasama fajara," and when he enters into some argument, then he uses abusive and vulgar language. If you have to look at that, all those signs seem to be present in us. There's no sadaqat in our lives. Our zahir and our batin are world apart. But again I repeat, that don't lose hope. Allah Ta'ala is very merciful, very kind. If he did not love us, and if he did not want us to change, and if he did not want to forgive us, he would not have even brought us here. The very fact that you are still coming, you're listening to the same thing over and over, and you are still coming, it is a sign of your good hearts. That with all the things that are being told, but it hasn't offended a person that he says that no, we should not go anymore to these type of majlises, because all the time now this is an operation on our hearts. He's not giving us congratulations and shabashi and mubarakbad all the time. But what's the sense of a surgeon if he tells you, no, don't worry, everything is alright. He knows that there's cancer, he knows that there's tumor in the brains, he knows that if he does not operate, then this person is going to suffer. But he says, no, I will just put some ointment over it and stay happy. What's going to happen to that person? So we have to take this as an operation. And believe me, whilst I'm operating my own heart. Because we all are in the same boat. We all get caught up in different kinds of fitnas. So I make dua, Allah Ta'ala protect me and protect you and protect everybody. So jo tha apna matlab to tha sab se matlab, phiri aankh pura hua jab se matlab. As soon as the person's matlab is over, then he turns away and is gone. Finish. Where that friendship is gone, after that Allah knows. All that friendship and that muhabbat and that aqidat and that azmat and everything which was being professed suddenly vanishes and disappears when the person's matlab is over. So many people went to the mashayikh. They stayed in their khanqas for many months. And as soon as they got khilafat, they left the shaykh and went. And after that, they opened up their own piri muridi and started their business. And that was the end of the shaykh also. They forgot about the shaykh too. So many shaykhs have come to South Africa. And before that person has even spent a few days with that shaykh, they gave him khilafat. Now the title of khalifa also became so cheap. That before that person has even spent days, he doesn't even have the knowledge of ABC of deen and sharia. And they gave him khilafat. And why did they give khilafat? Because this person was a very good collector for this peer that came from overseas. This person was a very good collector. He had all the contacts with the top businessmen. So he used to take him around. So now he gave him khilafat. Now what kind of khilafat is this? This is what I mean by matlab. So nobody is safe. Only those are safe whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala saves with His rahmat and with His mercy. We must never feel proud of ourselves and think that we will be able to face the whole world or fight all the opposition or fight our nafs and shaitan. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala doesn't protect, we do not know where that person is gone. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of purifying our hearts, making islah of our nafs, bringing into our hearts the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam to such an extent that it becomes extremely easy for us after that to restrain ourselves from haram and to do everything that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have ordered. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.